There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Boys, it's Jeremy W. Miller.
Neal the rebound. Kevin Ollie brings it up. Throws it across. Miller for three. Oh, he banked it in! He banked it in! And the game is tied. We're going to overtime.
Over the rebound for his ninth. 18 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists for
James. Oh, what a block! Chicken! Double time!
Miles Turner!
Yeah!
Welcome to the NBA, my friend!
Turner sets the screen.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Born Ready to Pod podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Born Ready to Pod podcast. I am Chris Cook, Hawk, and Jake Light here on the podcast today, as usual. Emergency podcast episode. We've been slacking the last few nights with the recap shows, but some groundbreaking news here today in Pacers Nation. Victor Oladipo traded to the Houston Rockets as part of the James Harden deal. In return, the Pacers receive Caris LeVert and a second-round draft pick. We'll dive deeper into this trade, likes, dislikes, whatever you guys want to say, but initial thoughts right off the top of your head. When you first saw the deal, what were your thoughts? And now that you've sat on it for a few hours, what are you thinking now about this big deal the Pacers made today?
Well, I got the call from you explaining to me what had just happened, and I was in shock. So I was immediately got on Twitter and was looking and reading while still talking to you. And my initial gut reaction was, this is good. Caris LeVert's a good player. He's relatively going to be paid cheaper than Oladipo. He's under contract more. Once I learned the details of the contract and stuff, I was excited because it's like a value move. Caris LeVert at his max potential and Victor Oladipo's max potential. Oladipo's probably the better player. He's proven it when he's healthy, but then there was some baggage that we all know and had to deal with. So LeVert, he's returning home, a former drafted by the Pacers. I forget the details of how he ended up elsewhere. I'm sure you guys remember, but you know, excited. And that's the second time Chris has called me with breaking news, the other time being the Andrew Luck retirement. So this kind of evened it out. You know, one time it was terrible news. This time it was pretty good news, I thought. So those were my reactions.
And that was a Thad Young deal. They traded that pick for Thad Young. Go ahead.
Yeah. I like you guys, when I initially saw it, I caught the back end of it. And so I only saw Pacers trade for Caris LeVert and the pick. And I'm thinking, oh shit, you know, like, what did we have to give up? Were we part of like a salary dump situation? And obviously we had to give up Oladipo. And I think, I mean, I love the deal. I mean, I said it before and I'll say it again. Like, Caris LeVert could easily give us what Victor Oladipo gave us. In fact, if you watched him when he was the guy for the Nets, he was putting up Victor Oladipo type stats and even getting guys involved at a more high rate. I think just the number one thing here is the LeVert contract is so sweet. I mean, he's in the first year of a 3-year deal, making about $16 million, and it gets up to $18.7 million in a couple of years when he's 28. But he's still he's hitting his prime now. And just to be quite blunt, they were not going to get Oladipo for this style of contract. So I think at this moment, Victor Oladipo is probably a better player, but I would take LeVert in his contract. And then you throw on the sweetener of a second round pick. And I was hoping we would maybe get that Bucks first round pick in a couple of years just so that we could flip it. But I think, you know, we're going to be in a position now where we might be able to flip a second round pick in a contract for a wing player. And I've been preaching we need more wing help. Obviously, we got a wing player in Caris LeVert, but obviously we lose Victor Oladipo, so we're in the same spot. So I think we use that second round pick and maybe one of those contracts that's expiring and try to get another wing guy closer to the deadline. I think this is perfect. It sets us up for the future. And I'm really excited about it, especially after watching Caris LeVert over the last 2 to 3 weeks. I think he could really be one of our better players pretty quickly. And you know that we can get guys acclimated like we did Victor Oladipo and Sabonis. So I'm pumped, and I was pumped when I saw it. The only thing I thought was it sucks just kind of losing Vic, but at the same time, does it really suck? Because 2 or 3 years ago, we wouldn't have traded Vic for anything, and now it's just, it is what it is.
Yeah, I think I don't have any ill will against Vic at this moment now. What he went through last, before the bubble, said he wasn't going to play, and then, you know, saying he wanted to be paid like an all-star, then the reports of him coming out and saying, you know, I wanted to play for different teams while he was playing in the game. It's all in the past now. It was never going to be as deep as what Paul George did because he was a drafted guy. Even though he was, you know, the guy we got from the Paul George trade, it was never going to be that deep. I mean, for some people it might be, but not, I don't think for me. He's always going to be loved here in Indiana just because of his IU ties. And nobody here is an IU fan, but, you know, that's still a pretty big deal for a lot of people. So no ill will, and I'm excited about the trade.
Yeah, so this year LeVert's making around $16.2 million, next season $17.5 million. Then in his final year of that extension, he's making $18.8 million. So very reasonable contract there for LeVert. And like you said, Oladipo was probably going to command at most. The Pacers probably would have paid him somewhere between $25, $30 million, maybe some more than that. So it's a big discount. And I think even if LeVert can get you, you know, 80 or 90% of what full Victor Oladipo can get you from a financial standpoint and from a basketball standpoint, I think this was a really good move for the Pacers. I'm a big fan of LeVert's personally. I like his game a lot. In the bubble, he really showed, you know, he was playing on a very depleted Nets team there, but he was averaging 25 points a game. So he's shown that he can put numbers up when given the chance. Even here recently, a couple games ago, you've had the saga going on in Brooklyn with Kyrie doing whatever the hell he's doing and Durant being out. He put up 43 points ago, or 43 points a few days ago. So the guy, you know, he does a good job of scoring. He kind of a little bit reminds me of TJ Warren. I think he's a lot more athletic than TJ Warren. And I think he's overall probably a better overall player than TJ Warren, but I think he can put up points just like TJ does in spurts. And the other point there is getting players involved. I think he does a really good job of that. You know, when he's been tasked to, when he's had the ball in his hands more, he's put up double digits assists a couple times this year. And you know, he's averaging 6 assists on the season. So, I really love this trade for the Pacers. Back in November, if you would have told me this was the trade we would have done, I would have been very excited. It kind of sucks the timing wise of it, you know, 10 games in, but, the way I look at it now is you'd rather have it happen now, and make a trade now and have it, you know, work out for the Pacers over the next few years, then let Oladipo play the season out and then lose him for nothing. So, this trade, it kind of felt like to me was Pritchard just, you know, based on his conversations with Oladipo that he's had over the past few months, I think this was just him, you know, realizing or he had realized that, you know, that they weren't going to be a long-term fit. They weren't going to pay him. And he likely wasn't going to stay. That's my opinion. That's what I kind of think there's, you know, he just kind of said, yeah.
When do you think he'll play? Has it been reported yet when this will be the Thursday night game, hopefully?
I don't think it'll be Thursday night. I think that's a little bit too quick of a turnaround. With the West Coast road trip, I wouldn't be shocked if he traveled out there for this weekend. The Pacers do have a back-to-back Saturday and Sunday with Phoenix, and they finish up the road trip with the Clippers on Sunday. So maybe he makes a trip to Phoenix on Saturday. My thought is he probably plays in the game following when we get back from the road trip, maybe. I think it's kind of hard to throw him in there and acclimate him on that road trip, but I don't know. We've seen crazier things happen. So I want him to play as soon as possible, but I'm kind of eyeing maybe sometime next week is when he makes his debut.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
But yeah, so, you know, coming out of 2016, Pacers took him 20th overall. So like you said, those deep ties with the Pacers organization there, but, what did you guys think about, you know, all the moving pieces in that trade? Obviously we probably got some more points to make about LeVert and Oladipo there, but what did you think about that trade overall? Harden getting moved, to Brooklyn, and then all the other moving pieces. You had Jared Allen going to the Cavaliers for pretty much nothing. So now that the Nets have Durant, Harden, and Kyrie, do you think that makeup is going to work up there in Brooklyn?
I personally don't. I don't think they're the favorite to win the NBA title. If they become somehow, then give me the field. I just don't. Kyrie Irving, we don't know what his deal is right now. And Harden and Durant playing together and all those superstars, like the new big three, in theory, it'll probably work, but there's just too many other factors with those guys specifically. I think maybe they're the three seed in the East. At the end of the day, I'm probably wrong. They're probably going to be really good, but like I said, I just think there's too many factors right there to really consider them a threat to win the title. Now, they're going to blow teams out, don't get me wrong, every now and then, but like I said, I don't think they're the favorite.
I love it. I love this trade for the Indiana Pacers because I think it actually makes the Nets worse. Like when you watch them, the thing that intrigued me the most was, Kyrie Irving's just an idiot. So like, yeah, that's just out there. I mean, like this dude just doesn't want to play basketball. It just came out like 10 minutes ago that he was souring on his relationship with Kevin Durant. What, dude? It's you guys were acting like best friends, and it's been like 5 games you've played together. Like, how could it be that bad? And then you add James Harden to the mix. I mean, it's a lot of one-on-one players on that team, and now you just took one of the most attractive pieces to me was Jared Allen because he had a Miles Turner like quality to him. He didn't need the basketball to be effective, and you traded him for the equivalent of like swapping picks in like 10 years, like. I don't really understand that. I also think losing LeVert's bad. He's a good defender, good wing guy, young guy who could get others involved when Kyrie Irving was an idiot. And you get James Harden, a guy that needs to play one-on-one basketball. What the hell? Like you, Kyrie Irving and James Harden play such a similar game. It's incredible. And the best one-on-one basketball player in the NBA is Kevin Durant. So it's going to be a lot of stagnant offense. It's going to be a lot of poor defensive games. It's going to be – I mean, I just don't see it. I just don't see this working. I think the Rockets got exponentially better, which is crazy to say. I mean, Victor Oladipo, for whatever we say, if he gets right and you get him and basically 4 first-round picks plus the right to get higher in 4 picks, like, dude – That's an insane trade for a guy that got fat and basically just made his way out of Houston. Like, I actually think the team that did the worst was the Nets, and they got James Harden.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just me. I just don't think it works. It's way too much one-on-one basketball, and it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I think when you look at the way the Rockets are constructed now, they're just like a better basketball team, especially when John Wall – I mean, he had a good game when we played him. He's been playing well to start the year. We know what Christian Wood is. So, like you said, Oladipo's played well this year, and I think that gave teams confidence like the Rockets to go after a guy like that. So, credit to him, you know, even though he sat out 2 games back-to-backs with the injury, I can see how that all makes sense. And, you know, he played well enough to get teams interested, so I'm excited for that. A thought that just struck me was Michael Grady's job. I mean, he's got to have just like the most interesting job now. Does he not? Like, he gets to interview and talk to these guys and see like behind the scenes. Like, that's, we got to just somehow get him on to talk about that or something.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, he's already, you know, had Durant and Irving there, but to add Harden to the mix, I mean, if you could, I mean, just buy all the Michael Grady stock that you can right now, because that guy's going places. I mean, he's going to be seen and heard all over the place now, because people will want to interview him, probably get on some other shows and things like that. So, yeah, that's going to be nuts for him. I put a poll up on Twitter. I said, Oladipo for LeVert, do you like it? And I did actually just realize it's LeVert, L-E-V-E-R-T, not L-A-V-E-R-T, is strange to me. Yeah, no, I mean, I've always referred to him as L-A, not L-E. So it's a learning experience for me. Do you like the trade is what I put. 89% of the votes say yes. 11% say no, and there's 385 votes already. That's after just a couple hours. So a lot of people love this trade for the Pacers, or at least like this trade for the Pacers. And it just adds to this young core. I mean, you have Brogdon under contract for several years, Sabonis, Miles Turner. Now you add LeVert. You have TJ Warren for a couple more years. And then off the bench, you know, you got Justin Holiday locked up. Aaron Holiday, who, you know, has played sketchy of late, but had a really good game against the Kings. This team has a lot of young talent on the books for a few more years. Not saying they're going to compete for a championship, but I think they're definitely going to be in the mix, you know, on those upper teams in the East for the next two or three seasons.
Yeah, and if you have all those guys healthy and there's another move that you see on the table similar, like we have pieces now that are, and we've always had pieces, but are enticing when they play well to other teams. So just to be there and have good players in the NBA is a pretty good formula for a small market team. And 89% is 89% on over 300 votes is a pretty large sample size of the fans. So I think we can all agree that, you know, the organization wasn't asleep behind the wheel. They saw the writing on the wall that he wanted out, and they went and did something about it, you know, so credit to the organization there.
And my next question, go ahead. I have a question
I was just going to make a quick point that I think the biggest part of this trade that people aren't talking about, and maybe they are at this point, but the difference in money is just, it is a big deal for a team like the Pacers that we need to position ourselves to always be in the buyout market, you know, like when we got Wes Matthews, and it made our team better. It just did. Like, he was a guy that fit us well. We need to constantly put ourselves in positions to pick up a guy like that. And I think this trade is going to allow us to make deals for those buyout guys. And I think getting that second round pick, that's an asset that it's either going to be used one of two ways. We're either going to draft a random white guy from Europe that we'll never see, or we can maybe use that and maybe pick up a contract, maybe a guy that wants to be traded. A guy that came to my mind that I think would actually be decent for the Pacers is a guy like Marvin Bagley, who said he wanted out. I think he could be an interesting piece. He's kind of stuck between a 3 and a 4, and I think we could get the most out of him. I think he could be coached up and he could be an asset. So just kind of putting ourselves in position, just kind of getting some pieces. And then, and that's what they'll do. Like, there's no way the Houston Rockets are going to keep all those first round picks, all those flip flops. Like, mm-hmm. they're going to trade those and make those into players. So I just think the Pacers did a great job, and hats off to Pritchard and hats off to the organization for being able to flip a guy who wasn't going to resign into a player that's entering his prime with 3 more years of a very, very doable contract.
So my next question here is, you know, leading up to the season, we obviously had, you know, the reports coming out about him asking other teams if he could play with them. Speaking of Oladipo, and then all the other stuff that came out, the Fat Joe podcast and everything else, the interviews. And then just magically, you know, a couple of weeks before the season, everything's just all kosher. You know, they're just seems like, you know, the relationship's working. So it's kind of like they flipped a switch and they're ready to go on this season. Obviously, Oladipo's not committing to the Pacers, but a lot more positive in his interviews. When he comes out and plays the first couple of weeks of the season, you know, looks good out there. Looks like he's, you know, he's not going out there and playing like James Harden. He's actually given 100%. So do you think that maybe, you know, Pritchard and Oladipo kind of had a handshake agreement that was like, okay, we'll get you out of here. We'll send you to a decent location. But we just need you to go out there and, you know, perform for us, you know, for the first, and maybe not the first couple of weeks, because this trade came out of nowhere. Maybe they were planning more towards like the trade deadline or something like that. So do you think that him and Oladipo kind of had a, you know, agreement ahead of time in place? It was like, we're going to trade you this season. We don't know when it's going to be, but we need you to play as well as you can so we can try to get the most out of you. Do you think that might have been an option, or do you think it just kind of happened?
I think it for sure could have been an option, because I think right from the beginning, you know, it seemed like Pritchard and Oladipo had a good relationship, and I don't think anything happened that would have destroyed it that much. I mean, he got injured. They gave him plenty of time to get back. The organization never said anything bad about anything. It was always from a fan's perspective. So, you know, he's a former two-time All-Star, you know, big name in Indiana. And I don't know how Pritchard works, but I bet we'll find out one way or another if that happened or not, just because a lot of people ask questions and, you know, maybe on a Fat Joe interview, we'll find out. That's how this works.
Yeah, I think, I think that's a very astute point you had, that, you know, basically I could see Pritchard say, hey, you be a good boy here. We're looking to make moves. We're looking to get younger.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, obviously, Oladipo hasn't, you know, he hasn't played. And so, I mean, it came out that this trade has been talked about for the last several days. And so when he didn't play yesterday and it said knee injury, like, I have a feeling this has been something that has kind of been a possibility. And I'm guessing that Oladipo kind of knew this was a possibility. And, you know, Houston's a great city. And he's got an opportunity now, like you guys said, play with John Wall. DeMarcus Cousins starting to come along and Christian Wood. And he's a team guy, whereas, you know, James Harden just wasn't. I really think the Rockets did well here. I really think that they got a guy that sets the tone, a guy that knows how to change, a negative culture. I mean, Oladipo came in after PG, reset everything. He's going to go in there after James Harden reset everything. It's a tone setter, a guy that still can be one of the top scorers, you know, in the league within, you know, the top 25 scorers in the league. And I just love that deal. I think Christian Wood's going to get better from this. I think John Wall's going to be able to ease up and play. And I think they're just a couple moves away from really being able to compete in the West. And by compete, I mean like getting the playoffs, which in the West is pretty solid.
Yep. And then looking at, you know, LeVert's stats here, I mean, he's just gotten better every season. His rookie year averaging 8 points, second season averaging, you know, just over 12. And then just, you know, over the past couple of years, improving that over to 18 points a game. So he just has continually gotten better each season. Obviously, those first couple of years or first year or so, he was playing on a bad Nets team. Then he played on that Nets team that, you know, shocked people and made the playoffs. And then obviously, you know, last year he got some more run, but sharing some games with Kyrie Irving. And then this year with Durant. And so, I mean, he's gotten better every year. I guess the biggest question mark for him is I think he's, you know, I think he's going to be a stud. I think he's going to be a great player. I'm very happy about it. But the one concern that I do have is the injury history, which is probably why, you know, he dropped in the draft so far. Is he was the 20th pick in the draft. He probably would have been a lottery pick, maybe in the top 10 or even higher than that, had he not got injured in college. So he's had a little bit of injury hiccups here in the NBA, missing some time here throughout the season. So are you concerned about the injuries there? I mean, obviously with Oladipo coming off that major injury, we were concerned about the long-term effects. We're getting a younger guy who has, you know, some injury history. So are you concerned at all with LeVert going forward, that he's going to be able to stay healthy alongside Brogdon, who seemed to get hurt a lot, TJ Warren, who stayed healthy last year, but also has a history of getting hurt. Do you think that he's, you know, this is going to be a problem for the Pacers, is just health bringing him on with this team?
Maybe, but I'm not going to choose to be negative. In my mind, he's going to be an all-star in maybe 1 or 2 years. So no, it's going to be great. My question is, who takes the last shot on the Pacers now? It's got to be Brogdon, right?
Yeah. And I think it has been Brogdon, you know, or Sabonis. I think those were our first two options. As you can see from the plays that we drew up, that game against the Celtics earlier in the year, the play was drawn up for Sabonis. And then you saw that game. Who was it we beat by the buzzer beater with Brogdon?
I can't remember off the top of my head. Was it the
It was the Pelicans.
Pelicans.
Yeah. So, I mean, Brogdon kind of just, you know, took that. I mean, you know, as soon as he was dribbling down the clock, you knew that was going to be a floater in the lane. So I think Brogdon, you know, has the last shot here on this team. I think Sabonis as well. I could see it being LeVert too, though. I mean, there's going to be times where, you know, he's feeling it a lot more than those guys in games. And if it comes down to it, you know, where we need a last second bucket, or, you know, last couple minutes, we need to get the ball to somebody to score. I think it'll just matter, you know, pretty much who's playing the best in that game. And, you know, when you have two or three guys who can step up and make a shot in that situation, it's going to bode well for this team. I think in those crunch time minutes, especially now that you have a coach who seems to be able to put guys in better positions than in years past.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm getting so excited right now about this team and where we're going. I mean, we have a team right now, TJ Warren, Jeremy Lamb. There are guys that are coming back that, I mean, I think we're one player away. I really do. I think if we could snarf up, you know, a stud, I'm serious with how young we are and how we're coming along and the pieces we have, I really think we can compete for at least the chance to get to an NBA Finals. I'm being dead serious, too. It just needs to be a piece.
Yeah, that would be the ultimate goal, and obviously we got to get some of those guys back. And obviously, it's going to rely a lot on a new coach that we're still learning a little bit about. And just after that Golden State Warriors win, which we haven't even talked about yet because of this trade, but you know, that really kind of turned the table. We needed that win bad, so we did it without Oladipo. So there's some confidence going in that, you know, maybe the mindset of the team is like, look how good we are. We can beat a pretty good, wouldn't say great, but pretty good Golden State Warriors team, play very well defensively. And now we're just going to get this young guy in here to replace Victor. And, you know, this is how good we can be now. So the potential's there for the next couple of years. We've set up nicely. So definitely excited. We still got Bitadze.
I mean, think about this. at any given time, eventually we're going to get to the point where we could throw out Brogdon, Caris LeVert, TJ Warren, Jeremy Lamb. Like, we're going to be able to throw out some guys with Sabonis and Turner and really be able to space the floor. That's not even to mention McDermott. I mean, we Justin Holiday. Like, we're starting to get there. We're one big piece away.
My next question regarding Sabonis there is, do you think that him and Oladipo have played, you know, together there for Sabonis' whole entire career, drafted by Orlando, traded to OKC, traded to Indiana? So do you think that this is going to be, you know, something that pisses Sabonis off? Or do you think, you know, that since they seem to be, you know, they were very close, do you think this pisses him off? Or do you think that, you know, everything's going to be fine, you know, between him and the organization? I assume so, since, you know, Oladipo did one out. So I assume it should be fine, but I got to ask those tough questions.
Yeah, I think the organization has a history of not consolidating with all-stars, or even not taking their advice. So that might be, you know, a theory out there, but I don't see it. There's been no rumblings of that. I think you're getting into the QAnon of all this. I don't like where you're going with this right now.
I think that, you know, hopefully we've learned from our past mistakes. And I think with the contract we gave Sabonis, I think he's our guy. And it, honestly, it makes him a ton better. Like, it really does make him a ton better. It's another young guy that can grow with him, salary cap wise. It just works on so many levels. And I think that he's a pro and he's going to do what's right. And he knows he's our guy. And I'm just going to stick with it. Like Hawk said, no QAnon bullshit. You know, everyone knows I'm not a conspiracy theory guy. And we're going to move on from there.
All right. So that's pretty much all I got there on the trade, I believe. I did want to bring up the fact that I got a Venmo notification that the last person paid me during this show. So
really, who was that?
But yeah, shout out. I do want to use this time. I got to give a shout out to Suit Guy. He hooked us up today. You know, we pointed him out one time on a Pacers game with, you know, him out there in the suit, and we've just made a lifelong relationship with this man. He was able to hook us up with some tickets for the Pacers versus Raptors game when they come up, or when they play next Sunday at the Fieldhouse. Obviously, COVID-safe environment. Our tickets are all together. So, very excited about that. But shout-out Suit Guy for sure for that. And very reasonably priced tickets that we were able to get here this evening before they go on sale to the general public. So, shout-out Suit Guy for that for sure.
Yeah, that's our dude right there, Suit Guy. So thank you for that. And keep hitting us up because I'm down to go to a lot of games. Next up, we got the Trailblazers probably tonight when you'll be listening to this. So, you know, the fans are going to be in the stadium soon, and I can't wait to be there.
Yep. So any recap or anything you want to get done on this show? I know Hawk, I know you watched the entire game last night. I didn't watch a minute of it, so I can't give my analysis. I woke up, looked at the score. I was very pleased. So what were some of the things from the game last night that stuck out to you when you were watching? Obviously very pleased with the overall result from the Pacers pulling that one out last night.
Yeah, I stayed up and watched the game like a savage at the 10:30 tip. I don't think the game got over till it was past midnight, but Aaron Holiday, Edmund Sumner, Miles Turner, all balled out, played really well. Sabonis and Brogdon had their typical, you know, good nights, let other guys get involved a lot, looked really good defensively. I missed the last couple games because I was on vacation, but, I mean, we were down the first half, but, you know, we always seemed like we were in the game. The Warriors couldn't really get going from three. I mean, Oubre killed us. He almost Lonzo balled us, as I tweeted, but, you know, very pleased overall, especially in that second half. We pretty much had control of the game and didn't let Curry beat us. Box and one seemed to work every now and then, and Bjorkgren just finds different ways to mix it up defensively, which I love because, you know, when I was little, they told me, you know, the 2-3 zone doesn't work in the NBA, and now they run it a lot. So I don't know if these NBA guys are stupid and my middle school basketball coaches are smart, but it seems like, you know, the smarter coaches mix it up defensively a lot more than, you know, maybe a traditional basketball mind would tell you. So it was interesting and it was a good win for sure.
Yep, absolutely. Pacers playing the Blazers Thursday night, then finishing up the West Coast road trip with the Suns on Saturday, Clippers on Sunday. So can't wait for this week to be over so we can have games back to regular time. So any more thoughts before we close this episode up?
No, I mean, we got the Trailblazers. They're playing the Kings, you know, Wednesday night at 10 o'clock. So they're going to be on back-to-back. Another winnable game. And just very excited for Carrot LeVert is what I'm going to call him. Carrot.
Love it. I have nothing to add. Excited about the trade. We're going in the right direction. Get pumped, Pacer fans.
Yep. So welcome to Caris LeVert. We're definitely looking forward to having you on the team. Definitely very excited with the direction that the Pacers are going. And we'll be back here shortly to recap some more games for you, look ahead at some other games, and hopefully to give you some Caris LeVert updates as he plays his first few games in Pacers uniform. Once again, want to thank Victor Oladipo for the years that he spent with the Pacers. Definitely some great moments that he provided us with, big shots that he made. Obviously, you know, towards the end, it didn't shake out, you know, the way that we all wanted it to. We were hoping he'd be a lifetime Pacer. But unfortunately, you know, that's the way things go in the NBA, and players are always on the move. So very pleased with, you know, the 3 or 4 years we got from him, and very excited for the future with Caris LeVert. So that'll wrap up this show, and we will talk to you guys soon.
See ya.
LeVert. Ooh. Oh, that's filthy. Oh. Caris LeVert.
Oh, with a little pass.
Got it up at 34. Caris LeVert turns the corner and wins.
And it goes down. LeVert beats the clock. Caris.
How he creates space, how he uses his body.
LeVert steps in for the steal. Glides in. Steal.
Ish Smith. Tried to distract him, he does, but Caris
with a good start, not able to hit. He's now 4 for 7. He's missed his last three. That will count on the foul. Caris LeVert with a weight. Temple is on it. Shot clock to 3. LeVert has to get it off. He does. Yes.
Bradley Beals doesn't get the ball in his hand. Spencer Dinwiddie on the denial, and he's being aggressive.
LeVert gets it to go, and the foul.
Keldon Johnson, all three of the Spurs draft picks from this past offseason, along with Drew Eubanks, a two-way player.
And bucket for Brooklyn.
And great throw ahead, great finish. Coach Boy.
First time the Nets are opening against a Western Conference team since 09, and it was Minnesota.
LeVert, bottom, a 3.
We have to get to that ball.
LeVert, help from Carl Anthony Towns.
Hi, Archer!
With him in Atlanta as an assistant coach under Mike Budenholzer. LeVert,
nice touch.
LeVert,
oh, perfect!
Go to plan B. LeVert, using the screen, continues with a left hand.
You want to be working if you get the turnover.
Dinwiddie took the elbow, remains in there. LeVert nails it, a 3. Rebounded by Payton, he didn't see Kuroš. And here comes LeVert. Kuroš, same spot. Splash! Irving. They were thinking give and go. Instead, LeVert!
Tapped out to Caris LeVert. And Prince has, after breaking everybody down off the bounce.
Caris LeVert. Zone there, employed by the Nets, stifled the Grizzlies.
And LeVert. Season,
Allen screens for LeVert, who drives, and Allen flushes it. Harris back in. LeVert for three. Put it in.
That little free throw line jump shot. You can make it.
Yes. And Harris will run late up. LeVert for three.
He's special, probably.
Playoffs in the loss to the 76ers. And LeVert just going to hit Brandon Clark. Grizzlies turn it over. LeVert, straight line drive, drop feed to Irving.
LeVert, a distancia, levantando la marca. Vienen los Nets. Allen, a ver, Bonte.
LeVert, feeling it, drives it, dumps it.
The shot clock. It'll be back to Allen. Nicely down to 16. Ingram up against LeVert. Nobody accounted for Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, and J.J. Redick just told Drew, let me get to the point.
LeVert said, clear out. The wraparound, it'll be an easy one for Jared Allen.
LeVert, 2 seconds, 1 second on the shot clock. Floats it in over
the in the NCAA tournament against Florida State in Orlando, and he played very well. Inside for the...
...to take advantage of with their pick and roll.
Oh! Karis LeVert, that is... Gets up by three, we approach 1 minute to go in the first. LeVert, 3 seconds. LeVert at the horn, got it! Doesn't go. Here's LeVert. Nice shift of gears. LeVert Euros to the rim. Crosses. Hezzy. Highlight. Karis LeVert. Kenny Atkinson calls out a play. Cut. LeVert. Second half of a back-to-back. Nets trying to deliver the knockout punch. LeVert. Steph Curry without Klay Thompson has been a completely different kind of season. He coached him harder than anybody else last year.
Oh, Jordan.
It's at a 2-for-1 here. LeVert will take. LeVert will
see from him on a nightly basis.
LeVert.
In last night or on Wednesday, last outing was against the Bulls. Driving, LeVert takes it in.
Just keep going, right? That's what it's about here now.
Raptors with a foul to give. And that's not just lead for Toronto. They are locked in on this end of the court. Raptors have won a franchise record 10 consecutive by a dozen. Jordan, you're set, you're covered. The lower deck said they'll stay open late for you. And LeVert. Chandler gives it back to LeVert, turns and fires, and Boucher commits. LeVert. Step back for the tie. Good. I mean,
the Nets are hammering him on the glass right now. This is to be their third shot in this possession, or fourth shot after this.
Early second quarter when they were up by one. Here is LeVert. Manu Ginobili. 33 points, 13 rebounds for Embiid with Caris.
Wizards. Bonga has it stolen by LeVert. LeVert's making things happen. The cut. Lawawu Cabarro by Kurucs. 29 points for LeVert. LeVert. Oh, he's feeling it outside by Jordan. LeVert attacks. Jordan to the rim. He puts it down. And the foul.
Step back. Caris LeVert.
13 seconds left. First quarter. LeVert, little wiggle. And a
Marcus
nice.
Smart shooting it at 35% from long range. He puts the Celtics in front by two. LeVert, the body bump.
The Celtics, fine. Or you're going to be
there's
stable.
No doubt about it. The Nets never looked at this season as a gap year. LeVert on a kick. Lawawu Cabarro. He cans it.
It's a little behind the back in tight quarters.
LeVert, 21 minutes. 6-point Boston lead. LeVert!
Look at this pass. Beautiful one-handed pass off the dribble.
For the big club. Coming up next on TNT, the 76ers take on the Lakers. LeVert.
Oh, he can't miss! Caris LeVert is...
LeVert, 8 seconds. LeVert lob, slammed by Jordan with six overtime. LeVert around Ogilvy. Banks it home. Caris. Nets lead by two. LeVert off the stutter. The floater is good and a foul. Caris LeVert has it. But he gets his own rebound. LeVert leans. He's not human. Caris LeVert back in. Fade. Oh,
Oh, he's a one-man wrecking crew.
LeVert in double figures and adds to it.
Four. Trey Lyles with two straight three balls, and he was open on the possession before that.
33 if you didn't come home to start to catch this. LeVert.
Oh, these are guys that come out of the locker room, Bill, and they're competing.
Harris. 88-72.
I'm sure our crack stat crew is on it.
Yes. Oh, and 75 at the half, and they've got
on the heels of the Kenny Atkinson announcement yesterday. LeVert mismatch over Markkanen. Book it. A three.
Porter doesn't look like he has that lift.
Jared Allen running the. LeVert on the move. LeVert a three. Yes.
Up for it, no, it doesn't, but it at least acknowledges.
Rainbow jumper.
His hand came up. He wasn't talking about Porter.
Here's LeVert. Over White.
Closed on by Bradley. LeVert finds Chandler for the catch, fire, and bang.
From the field, a lot of credit goes to this Lakers defense, but the Lakers have been hitting at a high efficiency, shooting that well. That's why this game is still
reached. What extra classes. You probably had a briefcase to school.
No. He has numbers. Harris will stop, deliver to LeVert. To shoot. LeVert, three to shoot. LeVert will, and hits.